Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, City View. How you guys doing? Well, that was lame. Good morning. How you guys doing? So, it's nice. I was going to say it's nice to see. Man, that was like bright. Right in my eyes. Okay. But I complained that it wasn't on me last one because it helps to see. And I can't. I'm not going to complain. I'm not. Because you did a great job, Zach. Good job. But hey, good morning. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Hope nobody was seriously injured. I was talking to a friend of mine. He works at one of the fire departments somewhere. And I was asking him, was Thanksgiving like a busy day for you guys? Or is it low key? And to me, he goes, you know what? We had drug overdoses of people just depressed. He goes, and we did get called. He goes, you'd be amazed how many times we get called family football games. He goes, we got called because a 9-year-old and a 50-year-old ran into each other. It wasn't the 9-year-old we got called about. It was the 50-year-old who got knocked out. And the family, he goes, we come and the family's freaking out. Moms are screaming. Kids are crying. People are yelling at each other. I'm like, that wasn't my family, but sounds like could have been at some point. But it was just funny. But I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. We did. It was insane. We had, like, I had family from Houston and Texas, and they're here. Some of them are here with me, my aunt and uncle. And it was just a lot of fun. We had, I don't even know how many people. I don't know how much food. But a friend of mine posted the other day, it's amazing how you can say at the end of Thanksgiving Day, I'm never going to eat again, and then you're starving Friday morning. I don't know what's wrong with us, but it was a good Thanksgiving. I hope you guys had a good one. So we're continuing and finishing our series today called Conversations, and I've enjoyed it. We did miss one message because last week I didn't teach because Judah had a football game and his team won. But what I'm going to do, Tony, if he's, I don't think he's in here right now. He was at last service. This week, I think Tuesday, we're going to record it, do a live stream on Facebook, and it'll be on there. So I'm going to do like a little 5-8-minute sermon on Facebook so that we can share it, and so I can sort of share with you guys some cool things God showed me in the conversation between the woman at the well and Jesus, because it's such a cool story, and God showed me some neat new things. But today we're continuing that series of just those conversations Jesus has with people. And have you ever been in a room where it's dimly lit, and you're working, and you seem to be doing fine with the lighting that is there. But then all of a sudden, somebody flips on a light switch, and you realize that the room was a lot darker than you thought. Have you ever had those moments where you're happy? You've adjusted to sort of the darkness of the room, the dimly lit room. You're able to read, and my wife doesn't like it when I read in rooms that are not totally lit up. She says it's bad for your eyes. I say it's a myth. Who knows? Everything seems to be a myth nowadays. But so that's sort of, I've had those moments where I've been working on something, and all of a sudden the light switch turns on. I'm like, there's more lights in here? You see, I think some of us, we have those moments in our life too. We're sort of going through life, we're sort of happy with how life is, and we're happy with what things are going on, and we don't realize that we're not really walking in the light. We're walking with the light so close, yet the light is so far away. And God just wants to flip that light on for us that we might walk in the light. And today we're going to be looking at a conversation between Jesus and a man who was walking in darkness. Some of you might be wondering, why are kids in here today? I meant to say this at the beginning. So we've decided that on holidays like this, like Thanksgiving and other days where maybe our team members who are serving and they're like, you know what, I'm going to be out of town. Because usually on weekends like this, we have a lot of team members who are visiting family elsewhere, and it's hard to find people to work in children's ministry. So we said, you know what, why don't we just make the older kid a family, all the older kids' family services, and we'll bring them in here. So I had to make sure my message was totally ready like 2 months ago so I knew where I was going, hence the verse. And then we got these custom-made crayon boxes for kids. And I said, Ezra, are you so excited about him? He goes, Dad, they don't have all the colors. I'm like, you little punk. I go, what colors are they missing? He goes, all of them. It only has, and he could name every single color that was in the box. He's seen the box one time. One time, the kid. He's too smart for his own britches.
But so that's why we did it, because family, it's important to have family in here. So today we're going to be looking at how we can go from darkness into light and how Jesus was so patient with a man who was walking in the dark. And Jesus was willing to meet him there in the dark and lead him to the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. God, we thank you that you are a God who meets us where we are and you don't make us come to where you are. Lord, that you left heaven and earth to meet us here, to meet us right in the place of our mess and in our dark, to forgive us and to love us. And Jesus, I ask, God, that you would meet each of us today. Lord, no matter what church we're at today, God, I know there are people sitting in seats and pews all over the valley. Some are coming and they've had the worst Thanksgiving ever. They got the worst news they've ever had this week. It brought back memories of lost family. It brought back hurt. Lord, for others of us, we're sitting here and we've had an amazing Thanksgiving and we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, no matter where we are, no matter what brings us to the seat today at church, Lord, I ask that you'd bless your people, whether they're at Calvary Community, whether they're at Faith Bible Church or Desert Springs or Desert Bible, Lord, if they're at Cross Church, wherever your people are sitting today, God, I ask that you'd meet them. Lord, meet us here at City View in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you would turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, this is sort of where the whole series, I got this idea from this passage. From a passage I have read, I've memorized verses in this passage, and God showed me something amazing. But to get to where I want to go, we got to start at the very beginning. Verse 1. There was a man named Nicodemus, John chapter 3, and if you're joining us online, I'd like to say welcome. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus, and he said, Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. So we meet this guy named Nicodemus, and he's so close to knowing the truth, yet so far away from it. But he has questions. You see, it says he's a Pharisee, and in this time in history, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the Jewish people. They were like the highest up. When you got to be close to God, when you were the closest people to God were the Pharisees, and that's what this guy Nicodemus was. He wasn't just a Pharisee, but it says that he was a leader of the Pharisees. He was like a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was somebody super important, and he comes to Jesus. It says he comes by night. He comes so that nobody would know that he's coming to Jesus. But you see, I think there's more to why he came at night than just coming so that nobody would know. You see, I think he came at night because not only was it dark outside, but it was dark in his soul. And that's what brought him to Jesus that night. He had a dark spirit. So many times we walk thinking we're in the light, yet we're stuck in the dark. And that's where Nicodemus found himself. He was a religious man. He knew a lot about God, yet he did not know God. You see, we can know a lot of things. I can know stuff like, I don't even know. I don't know what I know a lot about. But I can know a lot about stuff, but not really know anything about it. And that's where we find Nicodemus. He knows a lot, but he knows nothing. But yet he knows about Jesus. And he knows there's something special about Jesus. He comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, Rabbi. He respects who Jesus is. If you have your kids in here, feel free to go grab crayons and a paper. Those are for your kids. He says, Rabbi. And then not only does he know this, but he admits that others notice who Jesus is. You see, when we look at this passage, there's so much that we miss as we just read this to get to John 3:16, to get to, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We miss so much to get to verse 16 because we think that's where it all is. But there's so much that happens before. Nicodemus makes a statement. He says there, Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. He says, Rabbi, I'm not the only one who's noticed that you're different than everybody else. You see, Nicodemus makes a big statement. He's claiming that there's other Pharisees in his group. There's other people who believe like he does, who see something different in Jesus like everybody else, but they're unwilling to come out of the dark and come to light with it. You see, some of us, we keep our Christian faith like that. We keep it in the dark because we're too embarrassed what others might think of us. What if we step out of the dark and came to the light and let everybody know that there's a Savior who loves them? What if we did that? You see, Nicodemus, he's inching his way to the light. He says, okay, we know, we all know that you're sent by God. And then he admits that Jesus is not like other people. He says, you're miraculous signs. You do things that nobody else can. But what do they claim about Jesus? Do they say you're from God? No, what do they say? They say, you've got to be possessed by a devil. That's their first thought. Their first thought is, you've got to be possessed by a devil. Because it makes sense, right? A devil would want to do good things, heal blind people, save people, raise people from the dead. Of course, an evil man would want to do such good things. That makes sense. But you see, when you're in the dark, nothing really makes sense. And so that's where we find Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus in the dark. But have you ever had those moments when all of a sudden the lights get turned on and things start to make sense? Even though he was so far from believing, Jesus was willing to meet him in the dark. Do you see that? I don't know what time of day it was. But dark for me isn't 7. Dark for me isn't 8. Dark for me is like somewhere between 10 and 1 in the morning. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Nicodemus came when nobody else is out. Everybody else is in bed, the lights are out, the streets are silent, so he could go to Jesus' door and knock so that nobody else would know. And he says, okay, Jesus, who are you? I don't want anybody else to know that I'm here. And that's what I'm thinking. And Jesus could have been like, hey, dude, I've had a long night. I just healed like 20 people, and I raised a couple people from the dead, and I just multiplied bread and fish, and I am really tired. Could we talk tomorrow morning? My first meeting's at 5:30. Have you ever had that kind of time? Somebody's like, I can't. What if we were all available like Jesus? And Jesus welcomed him in, and they had this one-on-one conversation where Jesus sat with Nicodemus, and he allowed him to ask questions, and he allowed him to sort of open his heart. And I love that Jesus was so willing and made things so convenient for Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't want to lose his reputation. He didn't want to be seen by Jesus, and he didn't want others to hear his questions. He didn't want to lose who he was, yet something inside him stirred him so much that he had to know, who are you? Each statement Nicodemus says has a question with it. When Nicodemus says, we all know that God sent you to teach us, he's saying, we all know that God sent you to teach us, right? Did God really send you? Have you ever had that where you're telling somebody something, but in the way you're telling them, you're actually asking them at the exact same time. You're asking them the statement you're saying. And I think that's what Nicodemus is doing. He's saying, we all know that you are sent by God, right? I think that there's these questions here, and he says, your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you, right? These things you're doing, it's because of God, right? I think in this, not only is he making a truth statement, but he's also bringing up these things going, I want to believe, but is this really true, what I'm saying? And Jesus looks at him and he says in verse 3, I tell you the truth. He goes, I'm not lying to you right now. He says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus meets him right where he is, and Nicodemus doesn't even know it. Jesus is saying, what you are seeking is so much more than just a flesh thing. It's so much more than just a statement about who I am. It's so much bigger. It's about a life change. It's what you're asking.
He says to him there in verse 3, he says, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about this kingdom, and the Jewish people thought the kingdom of God was just about there. They had been set free from the Babylonians, and they had rebuilt Jerusalem, and they had rebuilt the temple. They had done everything that they needed to do. They were walking in the end. They knew who they were. They were living as the people of Jews. The only thing they were waiting for, the only thing that they thought they needed was the Messiah, the conquering king, not the dying one, but the one who would reign, who would get rid of the Romans, who would reign and allow the Jewish people to be a holy and mighty nation again. They thought, okay, we know what we're looking for. You see, they thought the kingdom of God was something that was going to happen later on, that something was going to happen in heaven. They didn't realize that the kingdom of God could happen right now. They didn't realize that they could experience the kingdom of God right now in their everyday life in that moment. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But the moment you are born again, you can see it now. You see, I think so many of us are so close. We do the church thing and we do some of the life thing, but we're not experiencing the kingdom of God. We're not experiencing the love, the grace, the forgiveness, the faithfulness, and the provision of God because we're so stuck in our dark. We're too scared to go in the light. We're scared of what it might happen. I was talking to a friend this morning, and he was talking about how so many times people think Christian friends are too boring. You cannot have as much fun. He goes, man, my Christian friends are crazier than my non-Christian friends ever were. He goes, they're just as much fun. We can be so scared to step into the light because we think, what might we lose? We should not think, what might we lose? We should be always thinking, what will I gain when I experience the kingdom of God now? And so Jesus is walking so slowly with Nicodemus, these things, hoping that Nicodemus might understand. And Nicodemus says to him, verse 4, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's stomach and be born again? He goes, Nicodemus says, whoa, wait a minute. Jesus, okay, I know it's 1 a.m. and I know we're both tired, but this does not make sense. You want me to go back inside my mom? Back into my mom's stomach? He goes, have you seen my mom? She's a little lady. She's a little Jewish lady. Have you seen me? That's not physically possible for me to go back inside. And I wonder if Jesus is like, oh my goodness, Nicodemus. Nick. You see, he was so stuck on this physical thing that he's missing the point of what Jesus is talking about. He's so stuck in the dark, he's not willing to walk into the light. When we are in the dark, though, and the lights get turned on, it sometimes takes time for our eyes to allow things to make sense. See, I think in this moment, as Jesus starts talking, I think all of a sudden things start to click. His mind starts to open. He starts to get an understanding. But it's like that moment you are in that dark room. You've been in there a while, and somebody turns the lights on. And you're like, whoa! Something you love to do to your kids when you have little kids, and you just turn them on. You're like, get up now! And your kid's like, ugh! I think that's where we find Nicodemus. I think Jesus just flipped the switch. He's blowing his mind, and Nicodemus is like, okay, wait a minute. I can't go back in. That's not possible, Jesus. You're asking an impossible thing. He doesn't get it. You see, Nicodemus thought that they had been born again. Nicodemus thought that they had the life change when they were set free from Babylon. He thought they had the life change when they became the people of Israel, when Nehemiah led them through the walls being built again. He thought they had the life change when the temple was rebuilt and Ezra pronounced the scripture in front of everybody. He thought they had the life change when all of those things happened. He thought life change had happened already. He thought new birth had happened already. He didn't realize that when God said new birth, he was not talking about a physical thing. He was talking about something that happens inside our hearts. And Jesus said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit. And Jesus is trying to make things as clear as possible. He goes, just because you were born a Jew doesn't mean everything's handed to you. Doesn't mean you get to go to heaven free card. Just because you're born into a Christian family, just because your mom and dad are Christians, doesn't mean you get to go to heaven. That's not how it works. And that's the statement Jesus is making right now to Nicodemus. It doesn't matter who you're born to. It doesn't matter what family line. It doesn't matter the job you have. If you don't have the living God changing your life, nothing matters. You have to be born again. You have to be born of water and of spirit, because our flesh taints everything. Have you ever gotten food coloring on your hand before? And it seems like that one little drop of food coloring on your finger gets everywhere. It's like it contaminates everything. You're like, how do I have green on my shirt, on my pants, on the counter? It's amazing what one drop of food coloring would do. It's sort of like Nutella. Have you ever gotten Nutella on your hand? And it's like now you have it on your face and on your pants, and then all of a sudden it's on the toilet, or you think that's what your son did. Who knows? You never know. You're like, Judah, I'm just kidding. But our sin, our life without Jesus taints every good thing we could ever do. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you don't have a life change, you've tainted it all. And that's this point that Jesus is trying to get to Nicodemus. And all of a sudden, the wheel starts spinning. You know, some people have said that when Jesus says you must be born of water and of spirit, that he's talking about being physically born. But Jesus talks about physically born. So I believe Jesus is actually making a totally different statement here. Many scholars believe that Jesus is actually referring to a passage in Ezekiel chapter 36, which would make more sense. Because in Ezekiel chapter 36, the writer, God, is making the statement about a heart change. And he says this in verse 25. He says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean, and your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your old stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart, and I will put my spirit in you. And I wonder if when Jesus said that you must be born of water and of spirit, and I wonder as Nicodemus and Jesus are sitting there at that table, as Jesus is making these statements, and Jesus says, you must be born of water and spirit. And I wonder if all of a sudden this idea in this passage in Ezekiel comes to mind, and he says, the new spirit, the sprinkling of water. And I wonder if as he's listening, Jesus say, all of a sudden lights start turning on, and all of a sudden things start to make sense. But the thing is, when things start to make sense, don't they get even more confusing sometimes? There would be times where I'd be learning math and my teacher would be like, do you understand? You're like, no. You're like so close. You're like, okay, yeah, I get that. Okay, I get how you got from here to here to here. But how did you get here? You see, Nicodemus is like, I'm sort of understanding where you're going, but this is blowing my mind. I thought we've already arrived to being the people God wants, but you're saying it's a whole nother thing. Verse 29 of that passage says, I will cleanse you of your filthy behavior. Nicodemus is like, oh my goodness. So there's something bigger than just being born a Jew. There's a life change that has to happen. This change God does in a person. But you see, Nicodemus is wanting a physical change. Like, I can show that I'm a Jew. I can prove these things. But Jesus says, the life change that God does in your heart, it's not something that can be seen like that. You see, we all believe in the wind, but when was the last time you saw the wind? We can't see the wind. We see the effects of the wind. I have this arch that I made in my backyard. I see the effects of the wind every time it gets windy because it knocks it down and it breaks another light bulb on this thing that I made. I have to clean it up again on my pool deck, and I'm like, why do I need to just throw those light bulbs away? I see the effects of the wind, but never once have I seen the wind coming. How many times have you seen a life change, but you did not see the Spirit change the life? You've seen it happen in somebody's life. You see all of a sudden that they start acting different. They start living different. They start talking different. Their actions are totally different. You start all of a sudden, you see their life. You see a joy in them. You see a thankfulness in them. All of a sudden, they start forgiving people. They start loving people. And you look going, what is going on with you? You don't see the Spirit, but you see the Spirit moving. Jesus says, it's the same thing, Nicodemus, that I want to do in you. It's not something that can be seen on the outside, but it's something that I do on with you on the inside. And Nicodemus looks at him, verse 9. He goes, I don't get it. He goes, I don't get it, Jesus. How? I love that Nicodemus has said multiple times he doesn't get it. Because I can sympathize with Nicodemus. There's multiple times where I'm sitting there and somebody's explaining something to me. I'm like, Do you understand now? I don't get it. And that's at this point where Jesus is trying to make it as simple as possible for this man who should know. But you see, it doesn't matter who you are. The darkness is still the dark. But the darkness is never too dark for Jesus to walk into it and turn it into light. Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus will enter our darkness and turn it into light. And he will stay there as long as he has to turn your darkness into light. That's what Jesus does. Jesus hung out with Nicodemus until it clicked. We don't know how long it was, but we know Jesus was patient. He was willing to wait and speak and talk to Nicodemus and help explain things. And it says in verse 10, Jesus replied, he says, you are a respected Jewish teacher and yet you don't understand these things? He goes, dude, how do you not get this? At this point, I think he was, not, I don't think he said Nick earlier. I think it was at this point, it's like Nick. Really? You're a teacher. You teach my people and you don't get this. He says, I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen. And yet you don't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, about simple things here on earth, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? He says, Nicodemus, I want to blow your mind even more, but you're not even understanding the simple. You've got to be willing to step out of the dark. You've got to be willing to trust and have faith in me. You've got to think bigger than what you're thinking. And that's what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to take Nicodemus from just thinking earthly to heavenly. And that's what God wants to do with each and every one of us. He wants to take us from this earthly way of thinking to an heavenly way of thinking. But we've got to walk out of the dark. And so many of us, we have these little dark areas in our life that are keeping us from seeing God do some amazing things. They're keeping us from seeing him do things through scripture and through prayer and through life. And if we just stay in the dark, we miss out. And just like Nicodemus, how do you not see this? He says, No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Now Nicodemus should know this story. This story that that Jesus is telling Nicodemus would click. He would remember the story that his parents and his parents' parents and his parents' parents' parents would tell. There's stories that my dad would tell me about my grandparents, things that I know, things that they're one of my favorite stories. One of my favorite stories is in a book my uncle wrote. It's about when my grandma took my grandpa's tobacco out and replaced it with cow manure. I remember that story. This would be one of those stories that as soon as Jesus says it, he goes, and you know the meaning of it. You know it's talking about faith, but it's so much bigger than just faith in the moment. Because what happened in that time in the people of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness, they were so disobedient with God. God sent these serpents as judgment. But God sent a way for forgiveness. A way for healing. A way to be set free. And what he told Moses, he said, I want you to take a staff, this tall stick that looked like a cross, and have a bronze serpent on it. And if anybody is bit by a serpent, anybody, all they have to do is look at that cross, and they will be healed. And Jesus says, just like the people looked and believed in that image, the Son of Man will be lifted up on a cross too. But the thing is, you will not be healed from physical. You will be healed from your spiritual darkness.
And I wonder if at this moment things all of a sudden start to click for Nicodemus. And then Jesus makes this statement. What he comes to next, and I you know, there's those moments, you know, when you really want to make a big statement and you pause. And I wonder if between verses 15 and 16, Jesus pauses. He lets things sink in. And then Jesus says, Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever would believe could have everlasting life. This verse that we know, most people in the world have seen it. They have seen it on athletes' shoes. They have seen it on commercials. They have heard people talk about it. It's a verse that if you've ever gone to a vacation Bible school, you have to memorize it to get to your first piece of candy. It's a verse that most people in the world know. It's the most known verse in the Bible. And then we think this is a great verse. It was probably said to a crowd, maybe on the Sermon on the Mount, maybe to an audience. But it was said to an audience of one. One man at 1 a.m. that was asking Jesus, who are you really? And Jesus, being such a loving God, being such a conversational God, said the most important, the most amazing, the most memorized verse to one man. He says, Nicodemus, did you know that God loved you so much that he gave everything up for you? And if you believe, just like your people, your ancestors, they believed that if they looked at that serpent, that they would be healed by that snake bite. Just like their faith, he goes, if you believe in me, you will have everlasting life. And I wonder how long it took for him to click. I wonder how long he had to walk. And I wonder how long he just sat there going, what if I believe? You know what we know? We know that at some point Nicodemus made a choice. We know that at some point Nicodemus went from darkness into light. We know that at some point Nicodemus said, Jesus isn't just a good teacher. Jesus isn't just a guy who did amazing things, but he is Lord. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is who he says he is. He is every bit of it. He is the Savior. He is the one sent by God to save mankind. He is the Messiah we've been looking for, the dying one that will be the reigning one. He is Jesus. How do we know this? Because when you look at the end of the book, when you look at the end of John, after Jesus was crucified on the cross, another ruler of the people of Israel, a guy named Joseph of Arimathea, he goes to the Roman officials. He says, may I have his body and put it in a tomb? And on the busiest day of the year, sort of, I picture the day Jesus was crucified, sort of like Black Friday. Actually, it was like Black Friday. It was Black Friday. I picture the streets being chaos. I picture the buzz about Jesus dying. I picture this, okay, did you hear? Jesus died. I picture this happening. And then what happens is Nicodemus goes to Joseph and he says, can I go with you? I'm not embarrassed of following Jesus anymore. I don't care who knows that I am a follower of Jesus. I don't care about my reputation. I don't care what people might think. I don't care about that. Can I go with you? And Joseph says, yeah. And it says there in verse 39 of chapter 19, John chapter 19 says, and with Joseph of Arimathea came Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus at night. That's what he was known for. But now he's the one that's known as the one who walks with him in the day. Man who came with him by night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfume and ointment made with myrrh and aloes. He no longer was ashamed of what others thought. He no longer walked in dark. He had now walked in light. You see, we each have to make a decision. Is Jesus just a good teacher, or was he just a good man? He can't be. A guy, a writer by the name of C.S. Lewis says either Jesus was a liar, he claimed to be God. If anybody claims to be God nowadays, you think he's crazy, right? I mean, that's what we do. He's crazy. Jesus did amazing signs and he did amazing things. So either he is who he says he is, or he's a lunatic. Or Jesus is Lord. He cannot be all three. He can only be one. And at some point in this conversation, Nicodemus walks from dark, enters the light. He says, I'm no longer ashamed. I believe in Jesus. That same Jesus that walked with Nicodemus in the dark, that was willing to meet with him at 1 in the morning, it's the same Jesus that says, I don't care what time of day you need to talk. I'm here. And I'm faithful. And I love you. So are you ready to exit the dark and walk in the light and experience kingdom living now?
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to cityviewphx.com.